episode, we provide some practical ideas for reconnecting with donors you haven't heard from in a while.
Hello, and welcome to the Nonprofit Radio Show, a podcast with tips and tools for small nonprofits. If you feel in the dark about how to run a nonprofit, sunshine is on its way. I'm Nancy Bacon, and I'm joined by Sarah Brooks. And I just said sunshine is on its way, and it feels really strange to say that.
I had that same thought.
It is a gray winter day here in the Pacific Northwest.
And it is like the 100th gray winter day in this winter, I feel like, Nancy. It has been a super, super gray winter. And it just makes me want to huddle inside with a good book and a cup of hot cocoa.
I think you're absolutely right. And a candle. I recently learned that, or I read somewhere, and who knows if it's true, but that if you have a candle when you eat dinner or when you're with somebody, you have better conversations.
Oh, well, I'm sure we can work that into today's topic.
Yeah. So I feel like, so pretend I have a candle burning here. Let's have a meaty conversation. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I've been hearing from some nonprofits that they feel like some of their donors have gone into that winter hibernation mode lately too, and they just aren't hearing from them anymore, and they aren't quite sure what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I do think we're in that funny time where we had a couple years of just weirdness through the pandemic. And then we kind of had a bounce back for a lot of organizations. 2023 was a great year. And now 2024, it's like, okay, where is everybody?
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe today we could talk a little bit about some ideas for how you might reconnect with some of those donors you haven't heard from in a while.
I think that's a great idea. And I'm thinking also of somebody who talked to me about volunteers and how the exact same thing's going on with volunteers. So as we talk about donors, I mean, just think that all of this is probably the same for volunteers as well.
So I think if you're interested in doing some reconnection, we've come up with a couple of steps. We'll start with step one. You have to actually identify who we're talking about. That sounds silly, but I actually think it's worth going back through your data and making two lists. One, people who have given faithfully, and then they seem to have stopped. And again, same could happen with volunteers. And I think the second list that's really interesting to look at is people who gave only once and then stopped. So maybe they gave one time in 2022 or one time in 2023. Certainly there's some in that category that you know why. They gave as a birthday present in honor of Nancy. They're probably not going to, you know, give again unless Nancy asks again. So you can remove those. But I think it's actually really interesting to look at those two lists and to start to see if you can see any trends.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people are saying database, you lost me. And we're gonna refer you to previous episodes around, you know, ways to track your data. And this is a great example of just having a general sense of who's been giving and how often and when and all that.
Right. And, you know, you even if you're still in an Excel spreadsheet or even just in your QuickBooks, there's ways to, you know, look at that data. It might take a little time and detective work, but you can come up with a list.
So once you have your list, what do you do?
Well, then you need to strategize about what your actual goal is. And I think this is actually the most important part of the whole thing. Now you have to pause. You're all excited. You got your lists. And, you know, most people would just dive right in. And I think if you're a good Nonprofit Radio Show listener, you know it is good to take 5-10 minutes and just say, breathe, wait a minute. What's the goal here? Because I think you've got a couple of different goals, and it all depends on what your need is within your organization. You could just want to be gathering general information about trends, like how are we being perceived? Oh, people thought we had a great year last year and they don't think we need additional funds, or, you know, you just kind of want to get what's the overall vibe in relationship to our organization. And in those cases, it might help you adapt your communication strategies, or maybe your programs, actually, maybe it changes what you're actually doing. Or you could have a goal where you're actually like, I'd like to identify, you know, let's say we have 50 donors that we can see have stopped giving, you know, and we hope to get 10% of them back. Let's, you know, that could be your goal. So I think it's really worth pausing. If you have lots of board members saying, how come we don't hear from most of our donors anymore? Try to clarify what it is you want out of that.
I love how you're putting donors and donations in general, or even volunteering, within a larger context, that people don't donate separate from your communications, your program strategy, you maybe even your event strategy. Maybe you didn't have a fundraiser last year or whatever. Right. That the whole world of donations is happening in a larger context. And so taking a moment to think about that larger context is so important.
Well, right. Raising money is always about more than raising money.
And what you're really talking about is relationships, right? It's really looking at those relationships.
Yep. So then step three, because we are small nonprofit organizations, is to be realistic about your capacity. You know, there are things that big colleges and universities and hospitals can, you know, can do for like super extensive outreach to donors who they might not have heard from in a while. But chances are we can't do that. So you have to figure out how important is this to our organization? Do we, when I ran those lists, did I realize, oh my gosh, we have a huge number of people who we haven't heard from? You know, we seem to actually, there's a trend here that we need to pay attention to, or, oh, it's, you know, relatively minor and it might just be interesting to learn. So figure out how important this is for your organization and then scale what you can do to match that urgency and importance along with your capacity. So who's on your team who could help with this? Now I want to highlight, because I think we often get asked how to help our board members get more engaged. What we're about to describe is like the perfect way to engage board members, because reconnecting with donors who you haven't heard from in a while does not require asking them for money, and in fact, shouldn't require asking them for money, but instead should be a method of evoking conversation, which all of your board members should be excited about doing.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So it really is just that building the relationship, talking about programs, communications, events, you know, what about our mission do you love?
Right. So step four, you're getting there, is to create the kinds of questions that you want answers to from the folks you haven't heard from in a while. And remember, those questions should actually match your goals. One of the things I've noticed in organizations when I bring this up is the list of questions becomes like 32 questions, and no one wants to, you know, be on a phone call or sit for coffee for 4 hours, you know, doing this with your organization. And so while there are lots of good questions out there, the questions you ask should really match what it is you're trying to get at in your goals with this. It is, as I said before, though, essential that none of those questions involve actually asking the donor you haven't heard from in a while to give again. That's rushing the relationship, and that doesn't work in our romantic lives, and it doesn't work in the lives of a nonprofit either.
So what are some of these questions? Like, what's an example? Yeah, I understand it has to match the goal, but what are some examples that you might ask?
Oh, like, what about our work resonates with you? What would you like to learn more about? Do you have any wishes for us, as in, I wish you would? How do you like to be communicated with? How often? Do you wish you knew more about us? I mean, that's sort of a fascinating one right there. You know, if Nancy's like, nope, I get what I need from the website, like, okay, then really good for me to know that I should make sure our website is really up to date, right? Like, there's always a way to glean something. But they're what I hope you notice is that they're open-ended questions. You know, they're not yes or no. They give them a chance to talk in their own words, and your job is to really be a great listener.
I like the fact that, I mean, you're not doing this high-level statistically analyzed study. No. You know, it really is conversation openers.
All right, so step five is to build a system that makes this outreach easy. So again, you're going to assemble a team, probably a mix of volunteers, maybe from your board or others. Maybe you have some staff, maybe you yourself will be involved. And you're going to give each person a reasonable number of people to contact. And let me just say, a reasonable number is not 20. It's less than that. It's like, you know, 5 or 6. I often like to give people more than the number I'm hoping they'll reach. Like, maybe I'd give Nancy a list of 7 or 8 names, and I hope she's going to get to 4 or 5. People love to have choice. They love to be like, oh, I want to talk to them. And sometimes people like to know that if they are having a hard time getting in touch with someone, they can, you know, go to someone else on their list. You have to give the volunteers or staff who are going to do this outreach some samples. What is it you want them to actually say? And especially important around explaining what and why you are doing. You are not saying, hi, Nancy, you haven't given to us in 2 years. I'm calling to find out why.
That sounds super awkward. Don't say that.
That is not the right script, right? So you invest a little time in making it, you know, smooth, and it, you know, it's something more along the lines of, "Hi, Nancy, like, wow, we've sure appreciated your support in the past of our mission. And I'm calling today as a volunteer board member, just hoping to learn a little bit more about what parts of our work resonate for you." Totally different, but sometimes showing them what you're actually thinking they might say is really helpful. And then you have to explain that the goal here is an actual conversation with the donor you haven't heard from in a while. So it's either a telephone call or a Zoom, I guess, or in person. Now, your volunteer may send an email to set it up. Like, that might be the polite thing to do. You know, "Hey, Nancy, I'm a volunteer board member. We're doing this effort to try to reach out to folks in general to find out what resonates. Would you give me 5 or 10 minutes of your time, or can I buy a coffee for you?" Something like that. That's fine. But the goal is the actual conversation around the questions. You can be really, really clear that you're not going to ask them for money. That's often very helpful. And then you need to make sure that your system you've built has some easy way for the staff and volunteers to share back what they've learned. So I often either give people a digital form that they could fill back in. You know, I talked to Nancy and she said this, this, and this, or the good old fashioned handwritten form that they can kind of keep notes on and give back to you.
I think, you know, as so much about our world today, we try to avoid interpersonal conversations. Every time, and I love talking to people, so this isn't something that I face, but oftentimes people who are nervous to talk to people, they actually get this kind of, is it dopamine or something that just flows through your body when they've had a human connection? Like, it's just so rewarding. It's so interesting. It just opens up so many ideas.
Well, and remember, this is a low stakes conversation. You're not asking for money. You're not asking, "Are you going to give again, Nancy?" There's nothing. You're simply saying, "I volunteer for this organization," or "I work for this organization. I care about its mission. I'm hoping you, Nancy, will share your wisdom with me, what we can do to inspire people." It's like, and if, you know, Nancy, if you don't want to participate in that conversation, you'll just say, "I don't have time." If you say yes, you're going to have something to share back, and it'll be a really interesting moment then.
Right. And I love that you're even reminding them that they were a donor. They may have forgotten. If they gave 2 or 3 years ago, they may have forgotten. And so once again, you're just inviting them back into the family, into the circle, to say, you are part of us. And so I want to talk to you as part of our family.
Yep. So the last step I have for today is that you should have a plan for what you're going to do with the information. I have witnessed this sometimes where people gather all this and then it's like, "Oh, good, we did that." And then nothing really changes. So you want to go into it again, knowing what your goal is. Maybe you're going to relook at your programs or your communication strategies, or maybe you're going to use it to help you know, gosh, next time I talk to Nancy, I need to be sure to mention our early childhood program or our work with cats, because I know that that's what, you know, really matters to her. And I'm going to make sure we target our efforts a little more clearly to her interests. Whatever it is, you have to know how you're going to use that information. And here's just a really, really important piece. If you do end up, let's say your volunteers and staff end up talking to 25 people, you know, you as an organization should send something back out to those 25 people, thanking them for sharing their information and highlighting 2 or 3 things you learned. Right? Like, "Oh, wow, we learned that we need to send out our newsletters twice a year, not just once a year, because people crave more information about what we're doing." I cannot tell you how many times I have given input and then never, ever heard from anybody again. And I think, "Oh, maybe my input wasn't helpful." Or maybe I'm the only one who thought that. But when I have been a part of efforts where we send some sort of thank you and here's what we learned, oh my goodness, do people respond, "Oh, that's so fascinating. Thanks. I wondered what you'd hear." It's a just awesome engagement tool right away.
And even the people who weren't called, as soon as they see that you are reaching out and sharing, you know, you could put a little article in your newsletter or something, whatever it is you communicate with, to say, "We recently had these conversations and we learned this and we're so excited to really lean into that." And I mean, it just shows that you're reaching out and you're connecting.
Right. I mean, just remember, feedback is only helpful if you actually use it to make your movement stronger. Just collecting feedback isn't that helpful.
Absolutely. So what's our word of the week?
Well, I think it should be reconnect. And I have a sneaking suspicion that perhaps we've used that word of the week sometime.
We may have, but it's okay.
In our many years of nonprofit radio show, but it's important for today. And I hope that this is the word that our nonprofit listeners think about when they think about donors who they haven't heard from in a while. Because the goal is not to re-up them or renew them, or there are all sorts of re-words that get used in the fundraising world around donors who you haven't heard from in a while. And they're all focused on getting the money. And I really feel like it's our mission and role in these situations to reconnect, to find out if the person wants to connect, and if they do, how, and in what parts of our mission that matter most to them. So I really hope when you are looking at a list of people maybe you haven't heard from in a while, you don't think of them as lapsed, or you don't think of them in the kind of financial terms of the transaction with your organization, but instead you see this as an opportunity to learn something about your organization and to reconnect with someone.
When I think about reconnect, I think about not just your organization to the people or a board member to the people or whatever. I'm thinking about the people with your mission, and that this is an invitation to renew their connection to your mission, to reconnect them to the work of the organization. If they gave 2 or 3 years ago and then they stopped giving, they may have become disconnected from your mission. They may have kind of forgotten about what you're doing or why you're doing it. And so this outreach effort that you're so beautifully explaining and inviting people to consider is really reconnecting former donors with your mission again, possibly energizing them so that they become new donors again. they give again.
You're exactly right, Nancy. And I think a nice little side bonus of an effort like this is sometimes having these conversations is what re-energizes and reconnects you to your mission. I have been surprised myself sometimes when I start to have a conversation like this about how meaningful it is to hear from someone else about what they think about what you're doing. So it can work both ways.
Absolutely.
Well, the truth is, as nonprofit organizations, we all have donors we haven't heard from in a while. And taking the time to respectfully connect with them gives you a chance to learn a lot about your programs, about your communications, and about your donors. The key to reconnecting is to do it in a way that honors the choices of your donors and that allows you to really hear what they want to share with you. It's good to get feedback and to take the time to connect with people who value your mission. You've got this.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Radio Show today. Tell your friends about the Nonprofit Radio Show and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Visit nonprofitradioshow.com for tips, tools, and free resources for nonprofits. The show is produced by Nancy Bacon and Sarah Brooks in partnership with the Nonprofit Learning Center, delivering learning and innovation to help nonprofits thrive. Our production team is Steve Fonslet and Mep Schulte of Three Choices Creative Communications. We always love to hear from our listeners. We're inspired by you and other nonprofit leaders doing important work in our communities.